Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's fall membership drive week. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunathchi, Shawa, Toyoksugnusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream over on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations coming up this hour. It's the grand opening of Twin Lakes Planet and Bird Walk. It's back. It's this Sunday, September 21st. It's a joint project of the Marie Drake Planetarium and Juno Audubon Society. The University of Alaska's Evening at Egan Fall Series kicks off this Friday. Dean Karen is here to share what's in store tomorrow and beyond. Theater in the Rough is back with full productions this season. And it's kicking off with a true classic, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. We talk with Aaron Elmore and Donnie Gott about their production opening tomorrow night, Friday, September 19th. And we start today with Sketching at the Museum, a new program that will have several sessions over the fall and winter at the Alaska State Museum. It's Juno Afternoon on KTOO, made possible with your support. Donate now at ktoo.org.
I'm Kurt Fredrickson.
I'm Mary Soroki.
We've been listening and enjoying since K2's inception in 1974.
I think KTOO is the voice of Juno that was best exemplified by the coverage of the flood. That was outstanding.
Incredible. People were just kept informed as to what was going on with the flood potential and then actually during the flood.
We took family members up to the zip line that day, and it was on up at the zip line. And I thought that was just a representation of KTOO providing real-time news.
At a time when Congress has eliminated all funding for public broadcasting, it's time to take it beyond membership and actually make some donations much greater than we normally would.
We have increased our donations substantially. There's nothing we would want to see gone or reduced. It would be sad for us. It would be sad for Juno. We're asking all of you to do what we've done, which is increase your donations this year.
I don't think there's a more important time than now. Please consider making your donations to ktto.org.
How about ktoo.org is where you need to go for your donations. Thanks.
Thank you.
And before we begin, I just want to mention that the Centuries, which will be part of the Alaska Folk Festival Fall Concert, they'll be joining the Hive today on KRNN Tidelines from 5 to 7 p.m. The Rockabilly Trio from Los Angeles will be rocking the jack tomorrow night, and that is part of that Alaska Folk Festival Fall Concert fundraiser. That's awesome. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno and 91.7 Juno Auk Bay. Also online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also watch our live stream, see what's going on here in the studio behind the scenes on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. This Saturday, September 20th, begins a series at the Alaska State Museum. It's called Sketching in the Museum at the APK. It will continue the first and third Saturday through next April, so you have lots of opportunity, and you are encouraged to join along the journey. And here to share more with us about this new program is Addison Field, chief curator at the museum, as well as local artist Jim Heumann. Gunath Cheesh, welcome. Wasiati, how are you, Addison?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having us here, Boston.
Of course. And Wasiati, Jim, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks for coming in on this lovely day. So this is a cool new program. Has anything like this been done before at the museum, Addison?
Not since the museum was rebuilt. So over the last 10 years, they haven't had a sketching program like this. They're back in the old Centennial Building, there were art programs, to my knowledge. And I think, Jim, maybe you had participated in a few of those.
Yeah, I have previously taught kids' workshops, both painting and drawing, and also about a decade ago, drawing for museum docents.
Okay.
Which was a fun program.
Awesome. So what spurned the idea to resurrect something like this or build something new like this sketching in the museum at the APK?
Well, I basically perceive drawing as a fundamental art skill, much like music. You need to practice regularly and hopefully daily. I mentioned this to Addison and a few of his board members on the Friends of the Museum, and found out I wasn't alone. They'd been thinking along similar lines. So, like a lot of things in Juneau, come inside when it starts raining. So September through April, kind of obvious, you know, it's a nice place to be.
Okay.
And so we hope we build skills, draw people to the museum, and encourage this along with other art drawing programs in Juneau.
So give me a sense of the form of what shape this will take each Saturday, the first and third Saturday of every month through April. What will that form take? Will it be different each week? Is there going to be different guest speakers or different artists who are going to be leading the group? How's this going to work, Addison?
Well, it sounds like we're going to have a curio artist most Saturdays, and we'll take our cue from that artist and see what they want to build out for that particular day.
I see. And the first artist is Chris Taylor. Is that true?
Yes. We're okay. Very happy to have Chris.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Chris, Jim.
Well, you know, he's an established Juneau artist who I met him when he worked at the Canvas Gallery. He later went to the museum. He's one of the more respected art teachers in Juneau. He will be our first presenter. We'll also have David Woody, who used to work at the at the university.
Okay.
And we asked the artists to open up each session with how they approach sketching.
Okay.
You know, Chris's perspective might come from this direction. And David's and others from other directions. But the big question we asked is, what do you think, what do you focus on when you start a drawing? Then we purposely keep that short, and we want people to pick up the drawing tools and draw every session. So.
Right, right. So you'll have practical hands-on, you know, time during the session to work and learn.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And people can share and things like that, right?
Yeah, in fact, Chris had a good comment. He said, perhaps we should have cards that say, yes, I'd like your input, or no, I'd just like to work today. And
some people like it to be hidden until it's done, right? And I guess, is the idea of this, because I know some people, their whole idea is to just do sketching, right? Like sketch. But some people also use it as the starting point for something that might come later, right?
Yeah, I would say most of the artists I know begin with sketching and build.
I see. Okay. Yes. So it's a skill that you kind of learn, and it helps you sort of see the roadmap of where you want to go with whatever the final piece would be.
Yeah, I think that's correct. You know, you can save a lot of pain if you establish your idea with a sound sketch before you bring out the paint cans or the start chipping stone or whatever.
I guess that's the way with everything, right? Have a plan going in, figure out some of the details beforehand. What's your approach to sketching, Jim?
Well, I try to sketch daily. I use sketching for – I sketch, paint, and print make, and they all begin with sketches. Mm. And it's one of those things, the more you do, the luckier you get. And Addison, how about you?
Well, I'm really a novice. I was one of those people who had a bad experience when I was younger, and I wasn't as good at sketching as some of my friends and some of the people in the art classes and various those things. So I gravitated away from it. I did other things, but now that I've been spending so much time working in the museum and working around really cool people who do really neat things, I see other people doing the sketching and other types of art, and I said I want in. So so I'm really interested in what each of these curio artists brings to the table, and learning a few tricks from I wouldn't say tricks, but learning a few skills, learning different ways of looking at things, seeing things,
techniques,
exactly.
Yeah.
Over the course of this
approaches,
this winter.
Right? Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And so, how do people get involved? What's the process? Do they have to sign up in advance? Is there a cost for this? What is the situation there?
Well, first of all, I should give a thank you to the Friends of the State Museum, who gave us some starting money to help bring our visiting artists in.
Great.
And we will be accepting donations. I personally perceive it that if you were a friend at the museum, you might donate on a lesser scale than if you're not. But nobody will be denied.
Okay.
And we hope it makes people want to draw, brings more people into the museum, and increases confidence.
Absolutely. And I do want to mention that this is for ages 15 plus.
Yes.
Middle school and high school students at that age, 15 and up, can definitely attend, right? And parking, it says parking is also available.
Right. Just people can come on in. Parking is available in the parking garage downstairs.
Okay.
And just come on in. We're starting at 2, and we'll be congregating in the lobby or somewhere in the front of the museum there. And then we'll take our cue from the guest artist and get started. People don't need to have any materials with them. We do have a few materials. Obviously, everybody likes to work with different things, and please come. Bring your sketchbooks. Bring whatever materials you'd like, if you feel like donating, you sure can, but it's not a requirement.
It's offered to the community, which is great. It's going to be the first and third Saturday of the month, starting at 2, as Addison mentioned, except for state holidays, where the museum would be closed, obviously.
Yes.
And where do people get more information? I know they can go to lam.alaska.gov, but then there's also a phone number here, 465-2901.
That's the front desk of the museum. They'll be able to answer your questions, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And is there anything else about this that we want to make sure we mention?
Well, go to the website. The Friends of the Museum keep a great website.
Yeah.
They actually keep it up to date.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
nice. Basically non-messy medium. Pencils, pen, pastels, watercolor, gouache. At this point, we're not doing oil paints and acrylic paints and things like that. But it's intended to be very open, encouraging, and hopefully we all grow. And I'm sure our presentations will grow and evolve as we learn more.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see. Maybe at the end of April, we have a couple of the artists come back, talk about the experience of doing the sketching over the months. That would be kind of cool. And before we go, Addison, you have some stuff there in front of you. Is there anything there on there that we need to mention?
I just wanted to mention that the current exhibit is In a Time of Change, Boreal Forest Stories, and it's an exhibit that's a collaboration between the arts, humanities, and sciences, and that's our current temporary exhibit. And, of course, when we transition into October, we'll be transitioning into our winter temporary exhibit series. November, we'll have a solo artist exhibit curated by Golga Oscar, and who is a UPIC Yupik artist, textile maker, and photographer. He's going to have 8 parkas, 4 that he's done and 4 from the museum collection, and 7 headdresses, a bunch of photos. It's going to be a really great show. Then, of course, this is a year for us to go back to Alaska Positive. This is going to be the 55th year of Alaska Positive. That's a statewide juried photography exhibit. The call for that is open now. It's open until October 17th. So if you're a photographer, you're interested in getting your work in that show, please go to the State Museum's website.
lam.alaska.gov. Jim, you said you had one more thing?
Oh, I just wanted to note that we do have artist presenters for every session except December 20th. So we have artists throughout the end of the year, and we'll be looking for additional presenters.
Oh, great.
In 2026.
Awesome. So if you're interested, get a hold of the museum, find out how you might be able to be the person who starts off the session and talks about your the way you sketch and your approach to it. That's kind of cool. Jim, Addison, thank you so much. Going to the Cheese for being here today. I really appreciate it. It's Sketching in the Museum at the APK. It's starting this Saturday, September 20th from 2 to 4 p.m. You can go to the museum's website or call 465-2901 for more information. Going to the Cheese for coming in.
You're the best. Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tau kanakaya ha ani kak. Gunish cheese.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger, put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Paid for by the Alaska Highway Safety Office.
When you sign up as a sustaining member of KTOO, your contribution automatically renews each year. Of course, you always are in control of your giving. But at any point, you can increase, decrease, or stop. But the nice thing is that as a sustainer, you don't have to remember each year to renew. This creates a great foundation of support for KTOO and keeps you free of mail reminders and missed months of giving. And you still get your thank you gift. If this sounds like the right option for you, sign on as a sustaining member at ktoo.org.
Hi, this is Jamie Karnick with Discovery Southeast, and this is a Juno Afternoon Calendar Delight. Discovery Southeast is having a community celebration and auction this Saturday, September 20th, at Tracy's Crab Shack 2 over by the Coast Guard Station. We hope you can join us for an evening filled with fun, food, and inspiration, including delicious crab cakes and bisque, hands-on nature activities for the whole family, a short program celebrating 35 years of nature education in Juneau, and honoring our 2025 Discovery Award winner, Jessica Curry, and a live auction and scholarship fundraiser to support Discovery Southeast programs to get Juno kids outside and become more curious and comfortable in nature. Doors open at 4 o'clock and the program begins at 5. We sure hope you can join us there. Tickets are available at discoverysoutheast.org, or if you have any questions, email us at info@discoverysoutheast.org. Thanks and see you on Saturday.
That's a Juno Afternoon Calendar Delight. If you're interested in having a Juno Afternoon Calendar Delight, just email junoafternoon@ktoo.org. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also tune in on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Local theater company, Theater in the Rough, took a sabbatical last year from Full Productions. It's a company that Aaron Elmore and Katie Jensen started in the early 90s with a love of classical theater, especially Shakespeare. They have presented, I believe, most of the canon over the last 3.5 decades. So it seems appropriate that to kick off Full Productions once again, they turn to the classic tale of star-crossed love in Romeo and Juliet. I am joined now by director Aaron Elmore and assistant director, apparently also many other things, Donnie Gott. If you know Donnie, that you know that's true, to share a little peek into this production that officially opens tomorrow, September 19th, but also has, I think, one last preview tonight.
Preview tonight, yes.
Thursday evening. What time does that preview start, y'all?
7:30.
7:30.
Doors will be open at 7.
And that's over at the...
And McPheeters Hall.
McPheeters
Fourth
Hall.
Fourth and Gold downtown.
Fourth and Gold downtown. Well, Gwyneth Chisha AID, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you both.
Thank
Welcome
you.
In, Wasiti. So let me start with you, Aaron, since you are the official artistic director, or whatever it is your title
One
is
of the
there.
Artistic
One of the
yes.
co-artistic director with your lovely partner, Katie Jensen. Why Romeo and Juliet?
I realized that I've directed most of these big giant tragedies, but I've never directed Romeo and Juliet before. It's been in my wish list for a long, long time.
Did you play Romeo ever?
No.
As no.
a matter of fact, I played Friar Lawrence in Perseverance's production.
Okay.
And with Ekaterina Alexa as Juliet and Darius Mignano as Romeo. I did play a scene as Romeo when I was, it was a long time ago.
Yes,
yeah.
Me, it was funny. I did it in graduate school. Mm-hmm. Like we had the Shakespeare year or whatever. And mm-hmm. I chose every role that I would never, ever actually get cast in.
Oh, smart.
So I played Romeo. I played Othello. I played all kinds of roles that I knew that I would never do. And it was really fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. So you decided you had never directed it, so you wanted to do it. Is there anything, what was it about the play that kind of speaks to you in this moment?
What struck me about it in this particular moment was how easy it is for the people we value to get forgotten.
Mm.
These two kids slide through the cracks of this town that's just full of violence and a lot of activity and a lot of money and a lot of things going on, but the people who should be supporting them, the people they depend on, one by one through the course of the play, let them go.
Mm.
The thing that has astonished me since thinking about it more and then working on the piece is that we find that in the end, these two kids are actually okay. They take complete control of their lives.
Mm.
Everybody else in the play is gutted by this. And so as in contrast to all the other tragedies, King Lear, you know, makes a bad choice and terrible things happen. And, you know, Titus Andronicus makes a bad choice, terrible things happen. Romeo and Juliet, they make some choices, but everyone around them is the ones making the terrible choices. Mm. And they're the ones who suffer from this. It's about a community in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of those community scenes. That's kind of awesome. What's your take on it, Donnie? Romeo and Juliet.
Ooh, what Aaron said? there was an aspect that Aaron brought up early on in production that I really sticks in my head and that I caught onto and that I still think about, and that is in other productions, the Capulets and the Montagues are often, you know, one is, they're on different socioeconomic levels, or one wears green and one wears purple, or you know they're very separate. And but in this production, it's harder to tell who's on whose side. Everyone looks the same. They're all just members of this community, and the only thing that separates them is their name. They're just people trying to live their lives and be loyal, and it. It and things could get solved through conversation and understanding, maybe a mediator.
So easy, too. You get about a third of the way through the first act, you hear one of the parties, Lord Capulet, say, you know what, Romeo, I've heard he's a good kid. Let's not mess with him. He's in my house. I don't want that kind of trouble. You almost get the impression from Capulet at that point. It's like, you know, this is, I'm getting old, he says. It's okay enough for two old guys like us to keep the peace. It's it's not that serious to the two main players anymore, but the kids around them are just
who have grown up with it, and it's part of their DNA that we fight with these people because our parents fought with these people, and so we're just going to continue that cycle of violence.
Interesting.
And I found that to be a really interesting aspect to sit with.
Well, it is called Romeo and Juliet, so I'm curious. Let's shout out some of the cast who's in this production. People might recognize some of these actors. You all work with tons. This is a big cast, I hear.
Oh, my gracious goodness. Yeah. Well, I said it was about a community, and so I decided fairly early on.
Literally
I needed
brought
a
in
whole,
half the community.
A whole community on stage at one time. Yeah, no, it's a bit cramped back.
It's 18.
18 people.
18, wow.
Which for us is quite
one of the
long.
Bigger shows in cast-wise,
With a shout-out to Karen Allen, it's like, oh, 18. nothing. For us, it's quite a few. So Natalia Spengler's playing Juliet. Mm. And had a chance to work with her since she did As You Like It with us a long, long time. No, she did Tempest as well. But she did Hamlet. I directed her in Hamlet. Mm. And I just had a wonderful time working with her. I was really
she's
excited.
Fantastic.
She's amazing.
So smart.
And she's always willing to get right down into the tiniest details of nuance and character exploration and revelation as she goes along.
She's one of the best listeners, too, actually. That's when I worked with her, that's what I really found. I was like, wow, she's really here.
Yep.
Which is pretty great.
Listening and present, hey.
Yeah.
Can't ask for much more. So she's playing Juliet. Okay. Brian Crowder's playing Romeo.
Excellent.
And, so Brian's, this is a different kind of role for Brian, and he's, it's just, they're lovely together. Having a wonderful time. And as I said, there's a zillion other people in this, and we can rattle off all the names if you want to make time for that.
I'd just love to give him a quick shout out.
Absolutely. We have Grady Wright playing the role of Peter, who's an assistant to the nurse and also gets in a big fight at the beginning, along with Alex Curtin, who plays Gregory, and they are two Capulets. They gang up on me, who's playing Balthazar, and Balthazar also does some of those famous prologues and epilogues and things like that. Other than that, he doesn't do much except go to Romeo and tell him, some serious news at one particular point. Grace Ann Trombley, absolutely brand new as far as we're concerned. She's actually played Romeo before back some years ago, but she's new to town, and she's playing the prince in our production. We're very happy about that because she's extremely statuesque and very commanding. Kate Ross playing Paris. Timothy Sislow is playing Mercutio. Pat Minnick is playing Montague against Eddie Jones's Capulet. Lady Capulet is played by Becky Orford, who's been working with us since Time Out of Mind. And bless her. Leo Finnegan, another brand new actor for us, who's playing the first servant and doing a lovely job. Our Katie Jensen's playing the nurse. Again, she did this at Perseverance Theater. She was really excited to get a chance to do this part again. As an actor, it can be fairly fun to have a chance to play a role twice. Donnie's playing Benvolio, which is a fantastic part and doing amazing. Kylie Ferguson's playing Tybalt.
Kylie's doing Tybalt. That's
Kylie's
great.
Kylie's playing
that's fun.
Tybalt. Yeah. She's got a lot of fight experience.
She can handle a sword.
And
cool.
She's got all those things. And there's three fights for Tybalt. So, it's a lot. Ben Brown has rejoined us after a very, very long time to play Friar John and also Second Capulet, a couple of small parts. But he's fantastic to have around. And because of that, we were able to bring the various friars in more often and try to make them a part of. Let me finish that thought in a second. Dan Wayne's playing Friar Lawrence. And then Max Rosen is another brand new actor for us, is playing the page. The friars are around a great deal. The other thing we discovered is in these fights, nobody seems to have died in these fights until Tybalt dies. Up until then, it's just good fun. Sorry? Yes, Tybalt.
We all read it.
You don't see a lot of Tybalt in the second act, and there's a good reason for that. But as a consequence, we wanted these fights to have a cost. We wanted people to get injured, and so I wanted to have people come in and help them and not just have it be like a Captain Kirk, I have a little red goo coming down my lip sort of a moment. So we've managed to make this community not only present but interdependent. I'm really, really happy with that, especially some of these smaller kinds of moments where characters interact who are not necessarily in the script.
You build a town, right? Yeah. You build a town, and that's really kind of fun. And that, yeah, that's really cool. So before we run out of time, let's talk about the details. You open tomorrow. You're running for 4 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll run until the 12th of October. We have two matinees, one on the 12th and one the Sunday before that.
Okay. And you can check the full schedule, of course, at theaterintherough.com or .org. Sorry. Excuse me. .org. Yeah. Why did I say com? I have no idea. Theaterintherough.org is where you can find all of the details, a listing of all these great folks, especially designers. I saw some pictures on the interwebs, and you were building like a second level. And
it's a two-story set. We haven't done that in a long, long time. We needed a balcony. And
gotta
it's
have
been
a balcony.
Real treat.
Yeah.
Now we have two.
So, two balconies. That's right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on with this. 18 people, you said. The backstage there is pretty tiny, so I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun for folks. But it's a wonderful your theater is such a great community organization, and to sort of build a community in this town, taking the take on this story, that's kind of really cool in terms of the style of this production. I loved your descriptions of, you know, that they're not necessarily wearing different colors. They're all part of the same place. They're human beings interacting with each other.
Different sides of the same street.
Yeah, kind of thing. So it's really cool. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it. What's on for the rest of the season, Aaron? Do we know yet?
Well, we think of this as kind of the end of our season at this point, because we did the William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, back in January. So
you go by years.
Yeah. It's that's simpler for us. Okay. We're not sure what we're doing.
We
next
have
year.
No
don't know what's
idea
going
what
next.
Comes
okay.
next.
We don't. That's pretty cool.
We are fairly certain that this show is amazing, but it was a lot. So
it's
we'll
a lot. You need a little break, maybe.
Yeah,
after.
Yeah,
it's
possible.
I mean, it's great, but it's good to have Theater in the Rough back doing full productions.
Thank you.
Again, it's Romeo and Juliet. It opens tomorrow. You can get a sneak peek tonight at the final preview at 7:30 p.m. And the previews, I believe, are pay as you can.
You don't have to.
You don't have to pay anything
for
the previews.
Come on, it'd be great.
But if you want to pay a ticket, you can get them at theaterintherough.org. And this production runs until you said October 12th, I think. Mm-hmm. Awesome! Congratulations! Break a leg. Really appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Gunnath Cheesh.
Thank you, Boston.
Yeah, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
This message brought to you by Search. From first breath through life's toughest moments, Search stands with you. Caring for Southeast Alaska isn't just a job, it's a purpose. When the unexpected happens, Search rises to the challenge. As parents, neighbors, volunteers, and caregivers, we push forward together. That's how a community becomes unstoppable. It's a mission proudly upheld by Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwanish George Davis. And the word this week is heen.
Heen.
That means water. And here is a sentence.
Heen chech natif.
Get me a drink of water. Let's hear it again.
Heen.
Water. Gunnash Cheesh Tchune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Tukdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwe Di man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Thank you.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I am your host, Boston Christopher. Evening at Egan is an annual UAS lecture series held each fall, which welcomes the Juno community to engage with leading scholars and experts as they delve into diverse topics, from the role of art in society to climate change, sparking thought-provoking conversation. That's the intro from the UAS Evening at Egan website. I think it sums it up pretty well. But to flesh out the season, I am joined now by Dean Karen Salkaitis, here to preview what's in store, including this Friday's lecture, Sea Rose Ashes, a filmmaker's meditation on memory, identity, trauma, and violence.
Yeah.
It's this Friday, September 19th at 7 p.m. out at the UAS Lecture Hall, I believe.
Yes, Boston, that was so great. Thanks.
Absolutely. Well, Gunnath Cheesha Yigudi, thank you so much, Karen, for coming in. How are you? Wasiati?
Yeah, I'm really great. Yuck-ay.
That's good. So I gave a little description of Evening at Egan, but it's so great because I think it's even expanded beyond that. Like it has so many things that it can be, right?
I think arts and sciences took it over a few years ago, and I think we really tried to put our spin on it, adding in a lot of creative aspects to Evening at Egan, but also I think because arts and sciences has a number of disciplines in it, we really tried to explore all of the disciplines within the vast expertise within arts and sciences. And I think we've done a really good job at hitting the creative side, hitting the sciences, hitting social sciences. And this year is no different.
Yeah, because spoiler alert, at the end of the season, jumping right to the end, you always have Winterfire, the creative showcase, which is UAS professors and others who are sort of showing their wares, which can be a variety of things. You've done monologues each year.
I'm doing it again, Boston.
You're doing a monologue, and you like create that monologue, right?
I write a new piece every year. I try to write something original.
After this year, I'm really curious to see what you're going to do.
And you know, I you should be actually.
I'm a little scared.
You should be. And Winter Fire Showcase, that name was coined by Lily Hope, and I really like the way she says it. She gets very dramatic with it. She's always like, Winter Fire Showcase.
That's right. I do remember her saying that on the show, which is really fun.
I try to emulate Lily when I do that.
We should all try to emulate Lily Hope, for sure.
Right.
Now, these lectures are always in person. They are also live streamed. They're from the Egan Library on the Juno campus. Mm-hmm. They're free. They're open to the public.
Always free, yep. And this one's going to be in the lecture hall because we're showing...
Oh, this one's in the lecture hall.
Yeah, because we're showing Vu's film.
Oh, so you're going to see the film like before he talks or while he's talking?
So what we're going to do is we're going to gather everybody together. Of course, there's always cookies and coffee. That's why we tell people, even though you can see like a webinar version, like you can, you'll be able to log into a webinar, we say, Juno, come to campus, come in person, because... I'm going to be there, and I'm very fun. Also, there's cookies and coffee, and who doesn't want cookies and coffee, Juno?
But if you do miss it, you can catch up on YouTube, right? Okay,
that's just for people to know. We like to post them. But also, there's going to be a webinar that you'll be able to log into and view it online. But we say come in person. So what's going to happen is we'll get everybody in the lecture hall, and then we're going to show the film, which is a little bit less than 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then we're going to do a moderated conversation with Vu. So I'm going to moderate that conversation. I've got a number of questions kind of pre-prepared for him. So let's say the film takes a little less than 20, and then I do a number of questions, and then we're going to open it up to some audience questions.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So I think it'll be a really fun night.
So let's talk a little bit more about this one that's happening Friday, and then we'll get a preview quickly of the rest of them.
Super.
You're going to be back for those as well, and maybe with those folks. It's just Vu's not in town yet, so he couldn't join us today.
Yep.
Vu Pham, it's called Sea Rose Ashes, a filmmaker's meditation on memory, identity, trauma, and violence. Again, this is tomorrow night, September 19th at 7 p.m. What's it about?
Yeah, so... I don't want to give away too much, right? But it's this really, it's a beautiful film. I watched the film and it's gorgeous. And it made me sit down with Vu and ask him to do this actually after I watched the film. So it's this, he calls it an odyssey, right? That really helped him search for a lot of his history, his backstory. He's a Vietnamese,
his family's from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. They had this incredible journey here. It's really about this search for the fellow Vietnamese refugee who took his mother's life. It inspired him to return to Vietnam. And it says, you know, if you read the description, for the first time in 43 years, he repatriated her ashes. And it's this incredible documentary film that talks a lot about these events. And when I spoke with Vu, and I said, tell me about what the film's about, right? And he did say it's so much about his, because this happened when he was a child. It happened, you know. So when you think about your own childhood and your fragmented memories and what identity feels to you because you've grown up in the United States, but you have these childhood memories and you have family in Vietnam, and how this moment of violence, because it's a moment in time that happened when you were a child, but it's impacted his entire life, right?
Wow.
And so it becomes these fragmented memories and trauma and violence that followed him into his own life. And then also what it means to think about maybe sometime and someday encountering this person, he would like to maybe have that experience, to encounter the person who took his mother's life. And what would that be like if he were able to have a conversation with this man?
Wow.
Yeah. So talking with him is so incredible. So I'm really excited. And then for us as academics at UAS, it's like, talk to us about creative process,
right?
And the making of this story and the writing of this and the documentary process and making a film and how we teach students to write what you know and creative writing classes and things like that. So we were just so interested in exploring this with him.
That's going to be really awesome. Quickly, let's go over the rest of them just as a preview.
Yeah.
We're going to have you back maybe with some of these folks as the season goes on. But just give us a tease of what's to come.
We are going
to
talk about still researching the Mendenhall outburst flood. So Aaron Hood and Jason Amundson did some really incredible work. So many Juneau residents went to the new and updated website that they created for us. So we want to talk about their updated research, what they're doing at Suicide Basin, what they're doing with the flood. And so we've asked them to come back and talk about that research.
That'll be of great interest.
Absolutely.
Folks, yeah.
And then we've got a really cool one called Living on the Edge, the Ecology of Mountain Goats and Avalanches.
What a title.
I know.
Yeah.
And so it's really actually extreme environments that we're going to talk about that our mountain goats live in. And then we've got our wonderful scientist who is researching the Tongass. And so we're going to talk about what's happening with the Tongass in a warming world and talk about the Arctic and climate change in our own forest. So we have a new professor who is a forest ecologist.
Oh, wow.
And his name is Logan Berner. So let's learn about our own forests we're living in. And then after that, Boston, we are going to have Winter Fire Showcase.
Shout out Lily Hope.
And
that's going to be on Friday, December 12th. The full schedule is available. The best way to do it is just Google or put in your favorite search engine, Evening at Egan UAS, and the page for this on the university's website will come up. The full schedule is up there now. All the dates are there. They're there's basically once a month or so on a Friday at 7 p.m. always. They're always free. They're always open to the public. And in case you can't make it, you're out of town, they are also always archived at UAS's YouTube channel. And again, this first one, Sea Rose Ashes, Vu Pham, tomorrow night, September 19th at 7 p.m.
Come hang out with us, everyone. We'll be in the Egan Lecture Hall.
Now, the question I have for you, Karen, before we go is these cookies you speak of.
Yes.
Are these homemade cookies?
Are
you making these cookies?
Oh, Boston, don't put me on the spot like that. I will tell Juno that I'm an excellent cook. I love to cook for stress relief. I'm not a baker, Boston.
That's what I was saying. Versus baker,
you know,
right?
You know what? Yeah. I've tried a couple times, and Juno, I'm not good at it. But Juno, I'm going to buy you really good cookies and a variety of cookies. High quality cookies. And of course, I will get really good coffee for you because we get coffee from the grind.
Awesome. Excellent. Okay. It's so good. It's the Evening at Egan Fall Lecture Series. It begins tomorrow night out at UAS. Dean Karen, thank you so much for being here. And we'll see you in a few weeks to talk a little bit more about the next one.
Thanks for having me, Boston.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Bye.
We're always amazed at the quantity and caliber of arts and culture offerings in Juneau. Do you go to a new theater performance or special art opening? KTOO helps you navigate your options. Juneau Afternoon, our local news team, and KRNN and KXLL keep you up on everything going on. KTOO helps you make the most of Juneau's cultural life, even on the nights you stay home. Your financial support makes it possible. Contribute at ktoo.org.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Chaik Planetarium. I'm going to talk about life on Mars. About a year ago, the Perseverance rover started looking at some samples of rocks on Mars that look like what are called mudstone, which is typically deposited at the bottom of slow-moving water. And in this deposit of Mars rocks, were found organic compounds, iron, sulfur, phosphorus, carbon, and other mineral compounds that are associated with organic life. And this is called a biosignature because it's proposed as more likely that biological processes form these minerals and compounds rather than physical processes. Now, there have been indications of life on other planets before. Around 5 years ago on the planet Venus, the compound phosphine was detected in the atmosphere, and typically that's from biological processes, but it can also be formed from physical processes. And also these compounds just found by the Perseverance rover can be formed by physical processes, but at very high temperatures, which were not indicated on this area of Mars. And since extraordinary claims like alien life demand extraordinary evidence, it is hoped that these samples of these compounds could be returned to Earth for further analysis in a laboratory. Could be the greatest story ever if we discover alien life or the remains of alien life on another planet such as Mars. However, there's some possibility that the budget may be taken away from NASA for returning the Perseverance samples to Earth. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Chaik Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariechaikplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Listening to Community Support at Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at kto.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. My next guests are regulars here at Juneau Afternoon. You just heard Steve Kosas. We play each week a segment that he does called Star Party, which is offered by the Marie Chaik Planetarium. And then Brenda Wright from the Juneau Audubon is, I think we looked at this one time, Brenda, and you were the most frequent guest during the year in 2023, I think it was.
Oh, my goodness.
And you were the winner.
Oh, my
goodness. Because from Juneau Audubon, because you have the previews for the lectures as well as the bird walks in the spring. And now their forces are combining. They've brought back the Twin Lakes Planet Bird Walk, the first of which, the kickoff, the grand opening of it will be this Sunday, September 21st from 2 to 4 p.m. at Twin Lakes. And I'm really curious to learn about the history of this because I didn't even know that this was a thing. So, Gunath Cheesh, Brenda, welcome. Wasiati, how are you?
Great, thank you. And the birds are back on Twin Lakes.
Awesome, that's great. And Steve, welcome. We just heard your lovely piece about Mars, Mars life, on Star Party. Thank you for doing that each week. It's a fantastic segment. We love playing here on Juno Afternoon. Wasiti, how are you today?
Thank you, Boston. Steve here. Do not fear.
Do not fear. Okay, so let's start with what is the Twin Lakes Planet Bird Walk?
Well, it's the walk to solar system. So the solar system from the sun to Neptune is 2.8 billion miles. And the walk that at 3 miles an hour would take a little under a billion years. So what we've done is we've shrunk that distance from the sun to Neptune to a mile. So
okay.
You can start at the playground there at Twin Lakes. And if you walk for about 20 minutes, you'd get to the pump house where we have Neptune. And on the way, we have the other seven planets. And with each planet, we have associated with it a bird. And Brenda, which bird would go with Mercury?
Well, what's the smallest, fastest, orangiest hummingbird?
A hummingbird is... I see. I'm getting the sense of this now.
Mercury.
Okay, so you've taken a bird and matched it with each planet?
Yes.
Oh, that's
true.
Amazing. And it doesn't mean that they live on that planet or anything. It just you're taking the style of the planet. So, like, what's the one for, like, the giant Jupiter planet? What's a big old bird?
Bald eagle.
Bald eagle.
And nice. Jupiter's a gas giant, so I don't know how we associate that with a bald eagle.
Well, they might have intestinal problem, you know, gastrointestinal issues. Who knows? I mean, at least on Egan Drive they do. anyway, so that's kind of cool. Now, the other thing about this is that it used to exist and then it went away. Brenda, can you tell me about a little bit of the history of this? And
yeah, it was such an interesting thing. Planet walks are many, many places. Steve can probably list hundreds of cities where there's planet walks. But in the 2002, the planetarium got some really, really fine oil kind of paint and permission from Parks and Rec to micro line across the sidewalk to show you where the planet were, as where the sun. So the sun was actually painted on the tarmac.
Okay.
And then you would walk a distance that would be equivalent to the distance from sun to that planet. And there'd be a line across it with the name of the planet.
Mm.
Well, after a few 15 years of Juno-type winter habitat, the paint went away.
I see. Okay.
But
so that's kind of cool. So this, when did the idea, Steve, come to rebuild?
Well, ever since we formed a nonprofit, the Friends of the Marie Drake Planetarium in 2011, we've been talking about redoing the Planet Walk. So
okay.
With the help of Brenda, about 2 years ago, we started getting grouped together for donations. We have seven different groups that worked on this project: the Marie Drake Planetarium, Juno Audubon Society, CBJ Parks and Recreation, Scouting America Troop 11, Juno Community Foundation's Blackwell Fund, Douglas Dornan Foundation, and the estate of Michael Orlov. So this was a team project.
Wow. So this isn't just your two forces. This is the forces of many groups.
Yes, yes.
That's pretty great. Now, this is also interesting to me, what she just said, Steve, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this. Maybe you can tell us one that exists elsewhere, too, because I'm curious. So, like, we have the sun. We restart, and then so each you took a relative distance from what that would be in the solar system to what the walk is that we're going to take. So, like, between, you know, Venus and Earth, we have the sort of equivalent distance of what that would be like in the sky.
Exactly. The distance from the sun to the Earth is like a 30th of the distance from the sun to Neptune.
Okay.
So we have that scale distance. And also when I travel, if I go to Anchorage or Fairbanks or Smithers, BC or DC, they all have planet walks. And I always make it a case to go on the planet walk in those cities.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll be adding to that. In fact, we'll have a quartet of cities right in this area with planet walks because we'll have Fairbanks, Anchorage, Smithers, BC, and Juno will all have planet walks.
What's the biggest one you've ever gone to?
The one in Anchorage on the Tony Nose Trail, because that goes over, I think it's about 10 miles.
Whoa.
From that planet walk.
And what is that? Is that still just our solar system that they
yes,
took?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It starts downtown Anchorage and ends up there at Kincaid Park.
Oh, wow. So they just made the relative distance longer
exactly.
to make a bigger trail.
There may be longer ones, and that's the longest one I know of.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really nice, safe bike trail, too.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And so, Brenda, with the Audubon Society, why did you all decide to hop on and then add a bird which has the characteristics of each planet?
Well, that's a really fun thing because there wasn't quite enough money.
Ah, okay.
To make the signs. And so I said, well, you know, if we make it a planet bird walk, I can ask Juno Audubon if they could contribute.
So
well, for sure we wanted to have a bird. And our biggest rule was it had to be a bird that you could see around Twin Lakes.
Oh, okay.
So it could be, you know, it's not from anywhere in the world. It's from Juneau, Alaska, these birds.
Ah, okay. That's really cool. And then because what I really like about this is because you might, obviously, I would go on this walk just by myself. But let's say you're a parent and you have a couple children. One might be more into space. One might be more into birds. And you can get both things knocked out at once. Or the one who is interested in space all of a sudden sees the birds associated and goes, wait a minute, I'm kind of interested in that. And then they kind of learn, right? So it becomes an educational journey at the same time that it's a lot of fun. And I'm assuming that was the goal.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, exactly. To make it the goal. So tell me about this event that's happening on Sunday. It's September 21st from 2 to 4 p.m. What's going to be happening on Sunday?
Well, we're going to have planetarium board members who will be wearing shirts with the planets on them. We'll be there to answer questions.
And which planet are you?
Saturn. The jewel in the crown. And I think, which bird is with Saturn? The ring neck?
Oh, yeah, the ring neck duck.
Ring neck duck.
Because it has rings. Saturn has rings.
Nice. That's so funny. That's so cute. So there's going to be events and stuff? Like, what's going to be happening on Sunday?
Well, anybody that wants to take a walk can take a walk. They can eat a cookie while they go, a bird cookie or a star cookie.
Oh, you have cookies in the shapes of the birds and the... Okay.
Yeah.
And drinks. Right.
And drinks and stickers. If you want a sticker from a Marie Drake Planetarium or from Juno Audubon, you get a free sticker. You can just walk all the way out to see where the planets are, or you can just stay around and do a hula hoop.
What's the last point? I know it's Neptune, but where is that?
Neptune's at the pump house, I call it. That's the other parking spot. But if anyone wants to make a large donation, we could add Pluto.
Yeah, I was going to say, because when I grew up, there were 9 planets. And now, for some reason, there's only 8. And that's official, right?
In 2009, the International Astronomical Union formed definitions of the planets. And Pluto doesn't sweep its orbit of Kuiper Belt objects. So that's why it was demoted.
Ah, okay.
It's now called a dwarf planet or a Kuiper Belt object.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was like too small or something. Like,
well, it isn't as too small. It's just that it doesn't control its orbit. It's not the primary object in its orbit.
Oh, okay. And has there been a group that wants to bring it back?
Oh, yeah, there's always people.
I'm sure there's friends of Pluto.
Yeah, it's always retro. So things are cyclic.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, this is the Twin Lakes Planet Bird Walk. It's back. The Planet Walk is back, but with an additional thing, the birds. That's the new element here. You can take a stroll through space and enjoy the beauty of Twin Lakes and its bird life. You'll learn about the birds that are actually right around there in Twin Lakes. It's this Sunday, September 21st from 2 to 4 p.m. The grand opening is, but it will be there from then on. And I guess, is it done? Did you finish it up? Or are we racing to the finish line?
It's all finished.
It's all finished. That's so cool.
So you could walk it today.
You could even go out there today if you wanted to. But if you want to go Sunday, there'll be people with shirts on and they'll answer questions. And the planetarium will be there. The Audubon Society will be there. And probably some other folks from the other organizations that Steve mentioned will also be there. That is so fun. Well, really appreciate you coming in and telling us about this. I can't wait to take a little walk over there and see it and learn some of the birds. Because I know the planets, but I want to learn about these. I want to see which birds were associated with which planet, because that's really kind of fun. I love that a lot. So thank you so much for coming in. Gracias.
Mucho gusto.
So also MarieDrakePlanetarium.org. And JunoAudubon.org is the websites for both those organizations as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Спасибо.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connection made possible by you, via your donation and membership at ktoo.org. On tomorrow's show, a preview of a new series over at The Jack, Jack Laughs. It presents Sam Miller. It's a comedy show happening next week. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gonna cheese.